as we consider and reconsider and consider again transformation, we need to realize that God is a God of transformation. God has left the world to us. But he realized, and you may not like this, that the people he created were going to mess it up. So he had planned for Jesus to come back for 1,000 years to straighten out our mess. They call that the millennial reign of Christ. And so while Jesus is here, when he comes back, he's going to set a lot of things in order, and you can find out that a child will live till 100 years. They're still considered a child, and things are going on, and the world's being changed, and if you don't go worship, you don't get rain, and there's a lot of stuff happening during what is called the millennial reign of Christ. Now, you might not hear that from a lot of people, because some people just think God threw that in there for filler. Nothing's really going to happen. But until that time, the world will become, the land will become what we choose to have it become.
This is true.
People don't understand that. How many farmers do we have here that plant seed? So what happened if you just didn't plant seed for 10 years? What would you have in your fields? Weeds. Eat a lot of greens. And so, you know, the story is told of the farmer that was out there doing his work, and the preacher came by, and he looked at the farmer and said, "Boy, what a wonderful farm God's given you." And the preacher or the farmer looked back at him and said, "Yeah, but you should have seen it when God had it by himself." There wasn't much going on. And so we are stewards of what God has created. Mm-hmm. We come to a place of realizing that Jesus came to demonstrate to us someone whose life is totally consumed and filled with the Holy Spirit. I've spent 3 weeks reading from Isaiah 60 to 66. Every morning when we were camping, I took my Bible and I read Isaiah chapter 60 through chapter 66. Why? Because there's so much stuff in there on reclaiming. Now let me teach you something real quick. What nationality are you, Tim? Okay. Can I tell you something? The Bible says you're a Jew. Put your stones down. The Old Testament was written to the Jew. How many understand that? How many understand Jesus told his disciples, don't even go to the Gentiles? How many understand that? But Paul says in Romans chapter 2, he is not a Jew who is one that is circumcised physically, but he is a Jew who's circumcised of the heart. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 that we are the circumcision. We worship God in the spirit and we give no place to the flesh. So actually, when we look at it, we've been grafted into that tree, and we are joint heirs with Abraham. Okay, anybody want to leave the church? Anybody disagree with me? And so the promises of God to the Jews are for us. Paul wrote that the blessings of Abraham could come on the Gentiles.
That's right, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
So when somebody asks you, "And well, who's your dad?" "Well, Abraham is." Really? Which Abraham? The one that lived back before the flood or after the flood, right after the flood. You know, the one that was going to offer Isaac. Isaac's my brother. You'll get it. And so God has placed us, and the Bible says he's grafted us in. He took a branch, made a slot, and put the Gentiles in there. Okay? And while that was happening, the Jews kind of got cut off. The Israeli Jews for a season, but that's coming back. Even though right now there's move a revival among the Muslims and the Jewish people in the Middle East. It's amazing. And so Jesus comes with this prophecy from a couple thousand years before he was born. Okay? How many realize 2,000 years is quite a while? How many have lived half that long? Yeah, I think so. He was working in a taco stand back in the Old Testament. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, now realize this is prophetic. It hadn't happened yet. It was going to happen, and I'll show you how it happened. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. How many here are preachers of the good news? Amen. You bunch of... Get your hands up. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. How many realize you're a doctor working with broken hearts? To proclaim liberty to the captives. Realize you're the best jailbreaker in the world. Opening a prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. Now here's what you're doing. Okay. Right now. Say this with me. I am no longer
going to be negative
about the things I see, the things I hear,
the things I think.
I'm going to allow
the revelations of the Scripture
to guide my life
and make me positive
because God is very positive.
I'm going to be filled with hope
because God is very hopeful.
And I am his child.
Amen. So here's what God says that Jesus was going to do. And I'll show you where Jesus said we're going to do it too. I'm going to give them beauty for ashes. How many ever had something you put your faith and your hope and your dreams in burn up? Whether literally, spiritually, or emotionally. Just burn up. It's gone. Just a vapor left. I'm going to give you beauty for those ashes that you looked at for the last few years. I'm going to put that together for you. Somebody at least should say amen. I'm going to give you oil of joy for mourning. The Bible says because Jesus was filled with joy, he was anointed. I'm going to give you, and you're going to give people joy. You said, well, how can we do that? Cut it out. Give it to them. No. You're going to walk in joy.
Amen.
Enough of gloom and doom.
That's right.
Enough of coming to a place that everything is falling apart. Now, I don't care what party you're from, but I listened to President Trump last night, and he was telling the churches and the pastor of First Baptist in Dallas, Texas, that I'm standing with the Christians.
Amen.
Come on.
That's right. That's great.
You can do better than that.
Amen.
We need to stand with the believers. There's a change happening in our country, and a lot of people hate it because it's coming through God. And I'm not promoting some politician. I'm promoting someone who's going to become a man of God and lead this nation the right way.
That's right. Amen.
Joy. How long has it been since you smiled? So long your face just cracked. I'm going to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What is the weight around your shoulders? What is bothering you? Come on, man, speak up. What are we going through? What are we afraid of? What are we worried about? What are we concerned about? What is holding us down? Is it spiritually? Is it emotionally? Is it physically? Is it you got more month than money? What's going on? Let me ask you a question. Wow, do I dare? How many of you think it's being phony if you come in here and laugh and enjoy a service because out there you're not doing it? Out there it's all work. Out there it's all labor. Out there it's all tough. Out there it's all things falling apart. Out there it's all fear. Shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. When we check out of here someday, we should be going out with a shout.
Amen.
We should be going out realizing that we have fulfilled what God has called us to do. We're not just sitting on the premises. We're standing on the promises. We're walking this life out for Jesus Christ. And heaven is not an escape place. Heaven is our home.
Amen.
That they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Remember, Jesus came to glorify the Father. The Holy Spirit came to glorify Jesus. We got good company. We got good company. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Talking about Jesus coming to Nazareth in verse 16. So he, it's Jesus, say Jesus with me.
Jesus.
Came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and his custom was he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet, who? Isaiah. Where were we just reading?
Isaiah.
And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today," say today,
"today,
this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus was telling them, "I'm the embodiment of Isaiah 61. When you read Isaiah 61, I'm the one he was talking about. Do you know in that chapter it said instead of shame, you're going to have double honor? I'd like to double anything. Double honor. Priests of the Lord. Turn with me to another book in the book of Acts, chapter 10. the book of Acts chapter 10. Anybody know what verse I'm going to read? Anybody going to guess? Come on, resident.
We told you you'd change it.
Verse 38. Make sure you see this. And Peter's preaching, and he's preaching at the house of Cornelius, and he's saying how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing how many?
All.
How many?
All.
All who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Say, God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
God is good.
Doing good. Healing all that were oppressed or in bondage to Satan, because the Father was with him. God was with him. Now, I don't think we have anybody in here that's foolish enough to think you can deal with the things of Satan without God with you. Right? Or are you the son of Siva? How many ever read about those guys? They come out and said, I adjure you by Paul's Jesus, and they got beat up and left naked. They don't even wear their clothes. So we're not going to mess around with devils without Jesus. But we do need to learn that Jesus is our example. Okay, turn with me to John 20. Jesus has now resurrected, okay? He's going to make a house call on the disciples. And oftentimes we say, praise God, Jesus has resurrected, but we don't see what he's telling them. We miss what he's telling them. Don't miss today what God's telling us. Satan's not in charge. God's in charge. He upholds all things by the word of his power, and he's made us caretakers. Love the way you're shouting. Verse 19 of chapter 20. Let's go back to verse 19. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw Jesus. So Jesus said to them again, now he's repeating something he said to them before, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Okay. Jesus suddenly is in their midst, and he has a message. And the message to many people don't seem as important as his appearance. But the message is this: I'm giving you peace. Now, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. Now, you're a you. You're also a whosoever. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you out there with the same Spirit, with the same anointing, with the same power, with the same miracle-working progress that I've walked in for 3.5 years, you are now going to do it because I'm going to my Father. The problem is we don't see that. He also said something that we don't like to hear, because he said, whoever sins you forgive will be forgiven. When someone asks Christ into their life and someone says, I want my sins forgiven, and you pray for them, you have the power and authority direct from heaven to say you're forgiven. Don't care what it is. And if someone is saying that I'm not asking God to forgive me, you have the right to say your sins aren't forgiven. You say, oh, why would I want to do that? Because you want to be real. This is not a feel-good society, folks. We want the church to make us feel good. We want the church a place where we can come in and just kind of crash and say, oh man, wasn't that good? I slept halfway through it. Pastor didn't even wake me up. This is the most important thing in people's lives. If people miss this, they miss life. They miss heaven. They miss God. They miss forgiveness. They miss healing. But we that have been around a while kind of get casual. There's nothing casual about the message of Jesus Christ. So what about us? Jesus came to totally transform you. I'm not going to dwell a whole bunch of time on it, but I'm going to tell you about it. He came to transform you spiritually. Absolutely, radically destroy the works of Satan in your life, set you free, and give you hope. Okay, look at me. If anyone be in Christ, they're just the same as they were before. No. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. You are spiritually changed. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that the power of the Holy Spirit has transformed us inside from what we were to what God intended us from creation to be. We come to a place where we do not get a hold of this. We don't understand. We're still dealing with things from the old life. We're still dealing with old habits and old bondages. We're still dealing with things that brought us down. We're still dealing with things that destroyed our marriages. We're still dealing with things of drug addiction and alcohol. And we're trying to just put everything together. And we're trying to overcome through mental abilities. And it doesn't work. You're a new creation. Don't go back to the vomit of the old dog. Right. It's true. The Bible says, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, verse 2 especially, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have a new mental outlook on life. Don't spend your time thinking about the past. Don't spend your time of thinking about what should have been or what could have been or what we wish we would have done or what should have happened. Forget it. It's gone. It's past. Start focusing on what's coming.
Amen.
Start focusing on what God wants you to do now. Start focusing on where you're going. Start focusing on how God's going to use you. And you're going to be part of this transformation process that's going to change Roberts County and the state of South Dakota and America and the world. Because God is waiting for a people to rise up and say, we'll do it with you, God.
Amen.
We'll do it with you. God never asked you to do it alone. God never told you to start running ahead of him. God said, let me lead you. You see, we need a shot of expectancy. We need a shot of heaven's reality. Because what you're seeing in America is not real. It's a byproduct of what Satan wants to do to destroy, and God wants to come in here and wipe the slate clean. And so he's given us a new mind, renewed through the Word of God. Please, don't just leave your Bible set on a post and use it for kindling for a fire. For some people, that's all it's for. They don't look at it. I'm not trying to be guilty on you. I'm trying to say there's so much in there we need to get into, and we need our faith built, and we need to walk in the Holy Spirit, and we need to walk in the power of God. And most of us are just setting the Bible out and leaving it there and hoping that someday it just jumps off the stand and falls in our lap and opens up to a certain place we should read. Love the way you're shouting. You got to ask yourself a question. Do I really want to see transformation? Do I really want to see people's lives radically changed? And will I step in the place where God radically changes my life? And even your body, he's changing. You say, what are you talking about? How many know what Romans 8:11 says? If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in your mortal body, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to that mortal body. You always tired? You're always complaining that some part aches? Let him change it.
That's right.
There's power in the name of Jesus. The Bible says he's going to take this mortal body in Philippians 3 and he's going to fashion it, he's going to groom it like his physical body. His glorified body. There's a day coming when we don't need this flesh and blood anymore. There's a day coming when we're going to live as Christ does. Turn with me to the book of John. Not St. John, the other John in the back. John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Okay. What he's going to do and what he wants to do in us is because he loves us. He's not looking at us as failures. He's not looking at us as some people that don't measure up. He's looking at us as, I love those people, but they need to realize there's so much more than they've asked me for. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now, say now.
Now.
We are the children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, for we shall be like him. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. There's hope. There's hope. I want to go for about 10 more minutes if you'll just hang in there, because I want to show you what will happen. What will happen? Say this, Pastor.
Pastor
is telling us
what will happen
or what God will do
when we come to him.
What God is going to do, because he's transformed us, is transform the area. I've watched George Otis's transformation videos. I've seen them all, except the new ones. I want to tell you what's happened. How many of you farmers would be very disappointed if you had 400 bushel corn per acre? How many of you would be disappointed if you had 200 beans per acre? Bushels. That's happening around the world. You say, oh, you're lying. No, I'm not. I've seen it. There's a place called Alamanga, Guatemala, where for years they had nothing. The town came together, started praying, a few people, then more, and then more, and then more. And the whole area was transformed, where they were running one truck a week out of vegetables. They were running 7 trucks a day. Their pumpkins, their corn, their vegetables were amazing. Why? They came back to where God wanted them to be, and things were changed. You see, that's there. How about up in Quebec? Ever hear of a place called Quebec? Us Canadians know about it. Quebec, for years, the people were just living on the edge. The caribou had left, the fish had left, the moose had left. One night, they were in church and they had a CD playing for a service. And God interrupted the CD, came across with a voice, which they recorded. The church fell on their face. The community fell on their face. Not only did almost everybody in the community get saved, but the caribou came back, and the moose came back, and the fish came back. Why? Oh, it just happened. There was a transformation move. Cali, Colombia, drug capital. A missionary, I read his life story, and a missionary was shot and killed on the streets of Cali. But his wife and the rest of the people didn't give up. The drug cartel was there. And God began to move, and pretty soon the drug cartel was in prison. The town was cleansed. God began to move. Seems like what God has done some places, he can do any place. Amen or oh me?
Amen.
So are you ready? Do we want it?
Yes.
Are we prepared to see the hand of God resurrect a dweller among the fish scales town?
Yes.
and see the farmland increase and see people's lives changed and see the power of the Holy Spirit working, it's really up to us. Well, God is up to God. No. It's up to us to believe and fulfill, like Steve was saying, the prophetic.
Amen.
Do we want to do that? That's our choice. I've watched those videos and watched those videos and watched those videos, and Joel was talking about people coming from Fiji. The government of Fiji became Christian. The government. As you realize, Fiji's an island in the middle of an ocean, and the fish had left. Fiji still had jails, but there was a difference. Most of the people in the jails got saved, and they were having church in the jails. People were getting saved. And the fish came back. Have we gone so far we can't see that? I don't think so. Are we living in a realm where we can just dedicate our lives totally to Christ? Forget about a lot of the other junk going on and just devote ourselves to God. I want to see sisters transformed. I want to see old agency changed. I want government in this region to be honest and respectable. Whatever government. There's a challenge. But I started thinking about this for the last 3 weeks and hadn't preached for a couple of weeks. I know next time I'm gone 2 weeks, nobody will come because you'll hear. We can have it. God doesn't hate America. Much of America hates God. Let's change it. Let's change it. I believe it, folks. I believe God has laid a pattern. I close with Ezekiel 36. God says, I'm not doing this because of the people. I'm doing what I'm going to do because the people have profaned my holy name. He says, I'm going to give you a new spirit. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to take out the old spirit, and I'm going to take out the heart of stone. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to allow you to see what I want to do.